The Retirement Conversation focuses on the changing nature of retirement today and the non-financial aspects of a successful retirement transition. Join Joe and Dennis and learn from leading experts in the field and the stories of people who have created interesting second acts. You'll take away practical ideas and tips to create your own. At Retirement Wisdom, we as retirement coaches help people think through their transition into retirement, as well as those who are in the early part of retirement but are looking for more from this stage of their lives. To find out more about us and how we can help you, you can schedule a free, no-obligation consultation with us. Simply go to retirementwisdom.com. On the top left corner, click on Get a Free Consultation. We would welcome the opportunity to speak to you. Join our conversations and get wiser about your retirement.
Welcome to today's Retirement Conversation with our guest, Diane Mulcahy. Before the gig economy was even a thing, Diane created the first course in the country on the gig economy and teaches it in the MBA program at Babson College. The course gained immediate traction and was named by Forbes as one of the top 10 most innovative business school courses in the country. Out of that course grew a book. Diane is the author of The Gig Economy, the complete guide to getting better work, taking more time off, and financing the life you want from HarperCollins. It's a best-selling book on Amazon that has been translated into five languages and featured widely in national media, including CNN, Forbes, National Public Radio, The New York Times, The New Yorker, Oprah.com, PBS, USA Today, The Wall Street Journal, and The Washington Post. Diane walks her talk. She works independently, remotely, and flexibly in the gig economy as a consultant and advisor to Fortune 500 and startup company clients, and as a speaker, writer, and adjunct professor. She has taken two separate years off to travel around the world. In addition, Diane writes and speaks regularly about venture capital investing. She is the author of We Have Met the Enemy, and He Is Us, a widely read report on the VC industry. She is also an author of two books and numerous articles on venture capital. Her work in the VC industry is part of the MBA curriculum at Babson, Boston College, Case Western, Darden, Kellogg, NYU, and Stanford, as well as the Harvard Law School. Diane holds undergraduate and graduate degrees from Harvard University. She is a dual EU-Irish citizen and a U.S. citizen, and she lives in Boston with her husband, Kevin. Diane, thanks so much for joining us today.
I'm delighted to be here. Thanks for having me.
So how big is the gig economy today, and how is it changing the world of work?
You know, there are a lot of numbers on the gig economy, and they vary depending on how you define the gig economy and what kind of methodology you use to measure it. But what I like to say is that a good rule of thumb is to think that the gig economy represents about 30% of people who are working. So about 30% of the workforce is working in some capacity in the gig economy. And if you look at all the data and the studies, you know, the numbers kind of coalesce around that. In terms of how it's changing the world of work, it's incredible how quickly the gig economy has emerged and is growing. I mean, really, in the course of one generation, the way that we think about our careers, our professional lives, and work has completely changed. You know, if you look at most baby boomers, they really thought about their professional lives as having a long career with maybe one or two employers. And for the students that I teach in my MBA class, it's a whole different world. I mean, they really anticipate that they will change jobs every 5 or 6 years and that they'll have multiple employers over the course of their career and maybe even more than one career. So it's an incredible change that's taken place in the way we think about and plan for working over the course of our careers.
Is this anticipation that they have, is it due to the fact that they want to experience different things, or is it that they're forced to do it?
I think that they are looking around at what's going on in the economy, and they're realistically assessing what's possible. I don't think it's realistic for students, whether it's coming out of college or graduate school today, to assume that they can join a company and have a multi-decade career there. Our economy is just too dynamic. Companies are too dynamic. They are constantly changing, you know, their products, their services, their markets, their strategies, they're pivoting, they're getting acquired, they're launching new initiatives. It's a very difficult proposition to say, I'm going to go work for an employer and I'm going to have the skill set and the expertise and the experience to remain relevant and valuable to that employer for the next 40 years. It's a very difficult proposition. It was realistic for baby boomers, for people that are approaching retirement. I just don't think it's realistic for today. That said, when we do surveys of independent workers, they're working this way by choice. Generally, more than 75% report that they are working this way because they want to. And there's almost half of them say that they would not go back to having a traditional job, no matter the amount of money. So it's really quite a statement on how much people want to work differently than as a full-time employee in a full-time job.
When people hear gig economy, they may think of Uber or Lyft, but it's much broader and more diverse. How would you describe the range of the work that's done in the gig economy today?
I'm so glad you asked that question, because I would hate for your listeners to think, why am I listening to a podcast about Uber drivers? The gig economy is, in fact, not just about Uber drivers. It is so much bigger and broader than that. The way that I define and talk about the gig economy is if you are not a full-time employee in a full-time job. So that means that if you're a consultant or an advisor or an independent contractor or a freelancer or a part-time worker, or you have a side gig, you're in the gig economy. So all of that is included in how I talk about it. The gig economy, under that definition, is incredibly broad. It really crosses all income levels, all education levels, all geographies, and all industries and sectors. It's really amazing how it has infiltrated even the most traditional jobs.
So with 30% of the workforce being involved in this, it's very sizable. Diane, what do you see as the upsides and the downsides of the gig economy?
Let me start with the downsides. I'll start with the bad news first. I think the biggest downside of the gig economy is, you know, we work in a system in which all of our benefits and protections that have to do with work are tied to having a single employer. So our system of health insurance, of, you know, disability insurance, life insurance, unemployment insurance, parental leave, vacation, sick time, all of that is tied to being an employee in a traditional full-time job. And when you leave full-time work to be entrepreneurial, to work independently, you give that up. Now, we're somewhat fortunate in that you can rebuild that system to an extent. You can get your own health insurance, you can save for retirement, you can get disability and life insurance, and you can self-insure for unemployment and time off. But it's more difficult, it's more expensive, it takes more legwork, you have to do some research to figure out what to do. So it's a bit of a burden. So I think that's the biggest downside of working independently is that we live in a system that really is focused on being a full-time employee in a full-time job. The other downside is, under our tax system, you're taxed additionally and separately if you choose to work independently. So if you leave full-time employment, you become subject to the self-employment tax, which means that literally you pay double the payroll taxes that an employee does. So I would view that as kind of a tax penalty for making the decision to work independently. So those, I think, are the downsides, and they're really systemic. Those are really policy issues. You know, we could change the way that our labor market is set up, and we could resolve those issues and make it much more attractive and easier to work independently. But that's the system we have right now. In terms of the upsides, it's really clear when you interview and survey independent workers, there are so many things that they find positive about working independently, but certainly the top benefits that they name are, one, the ability to control their life. They can control the type of work they do. They can control when and where they work, which is huge for quality of life. And they can control who they work with. So those are enormous issues when you think about the quality of your professional life. Independent workers also cite that they really appreciate being able to balance their personal and professional lives. So again, back to deciding, you know, when and where you want to work. If you are an early bird, you can get up at the crack of dawn and get a bunch of things done, or stay up late after everyone else has gone to bed. You can do things as needed during the day. There's just enormous flexibility, control, autonomy, ability to balance. So those are sort of the biggest features. Another feature, which is often surprising to people, is that independent workers feel in control of their financial security, because they are the ones deciding how much they work. They're oftentimes deciding how much they charge, and they have multiple streams of income. So they're not sort of putting all their financial eggs into the basket of one employer. They have multiple income streams from different clients, different types of work, and a whole portfolio, which gives them financial security. They, you know, they won't be devastated by being laid off from a job. If they lose a project, they have other projects. So financial security is another big plus of working independently.
Great point. How does the gig economy impact retirement?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. You know, for your listeners, it's really been a boon. So we already live in a system in which the responsibility of saving for retirement has been shifted to the individual. So employers used to take that responsibility on. They used to provide defined benefit pensions. Those are essentially gone. And now employees, individuals, are responsible for saving through IRAs, through 401k contributions, et cetera. If you're an independent worker, it's actually easier to save for retirement in the sense that you can save more and save faster. So if you're working independently, you can contribute, and let's say you're a high earner, you can contribute up to $50,000 annually towards your retirement through a solo 401k, because you're allowed to contribute both the employer and the employee side. So if you are a high earner and you step out of the workforce and work independently, you can really accelerate your retirement savings at the end of your career, in the middle of your career, whenever. You can just get a real head start or catch up by working independently. The other thing is, it's easier to stay working. It's easier to continue to earn income. And what we're seeing for retirees today is they don't want to necessarily stop working completely and, you know, hit the golf course or the beach full time. They want to remain active. They want to stay engaged professionally, and they want to continue to earn income. Not, you know, for most people, they don't have the financial wherewithal to completely stop working. And the gig economy just makes it easier to pick up work when you want, where you want. A lot of retirees live in more than one location, and it used to be challenging to think about getting a part-time job after you left your corporate career, or getting any kind of a job, really, if you were moving around. And now it's just so much easier and so much more flexible to, you know, work where you are for part of the year and then continue working, you know, wherever you are for the other part of the year. There's many fewer constraints on that. So it's much easier to stay working if you're retired.
And to that point, how can people think about how to transfer their skill sets they acquired during a corporate career to the gig economy today?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the most obvious answer is to think about what can you, you know, first of all, is there a way that you can take what you did in your corporate career and hang out your own shingle? So if you worked at a large accounting firm for your career, is there a way that you can create and develop and launch an accounting practice, working for maybe not the exact same kind of clients. Maybe you're not working for Fortune 500 companies, but maybe you're helping small or medium-sized businesses, you know, with their financial statements and their books and their taxes. Similarly, if you spent your career in corporate marketing or corporate strategy, is there a way that you can exit your corporate job and apply those same skills to doing something on the side? Something that, you know, you work with a different kind of client, but bring those same skills. Of course, for some people, they don't necessarily want to do the exact same thing, but how can you take, you know, think about how can you take those skills and deploy them into something that's related. So maybe you don't work in the same industry or for the same kind of clients. Maybe you support nonprofits that you care about, or you apply your skills to companies that have a different mission that you really, that really resonates with you. The other thing that you can do is really think about your network and how you can leverage that. So, and that goes beyond just the people in your company that you worked with, you know, go beyond your immediate team. You know, who else in the company might be familiar with your work, might know about your work, and have access to interesting referrals for potential gigs that you can do once you've left the corporate world. You know, there might be colleagues that you worked with at other companies or other service providers that you had access to. So really think broadly about your network and how can you tap them for potential referrals and opportunities once you've left your corporate job.
That makes a lot of sense. And both of us here have worked on both sides of this. In my case, I had a 30-year corporate career, and I've worked in the gig economy now for 10 years. And I'm really curious about your view on what does it take to succeed in the gig economy versus what it takes to succeed as an employee of a company?
You know, I think in many ways, it's similar. So if you think about a successful employee, you know, who's had a long and busy corporate career, many of the skills that allowed them to succeed, whether it's the ability to market themselves, you know, the ability to juggle multiple projects, multiple deadlines, multiple stakeholders, you know, the ability to manage up and down, the ability to manage their time, to delegate, you know, to effectively influence and persuade people to work with them. All of those skills will allow you to succeed in the gig economy. Those are the same skills that you need. I mean, the gig economy is managing a portfolio of work, just like most people do in their corporate jobs. So it makes sense that the skills are similar. Where I think it's different is the gig economy does require a different mindset. So when you're an employee, you can adopt a relatively passive and reactive, what I call employee mindset. You know, you're essentially outsourcing a lot of things to your employer. You're outsourcing your sense of financial security, your stability, your professional development, in addition to all the usual back office sorts of things that employers do. They pay your taxes, they take care of your benefits and things like that. When you work independently in the gig economy, you have to take all that on. So you have to be much more proactive, you have to be much more strategic, and have a little bit more hustle around business development, about, you know, managing yourself and your work like a small business, and figuring out either how to do those things yourself or how to delegate them out to people that you hire to do them for you. But either way, you have to be more proactive than as an employee.
Great points. And Diane, what advice would you offer people listening who are transitioning from a corporate job into retirement or often early retirement and are interested in working in the gig economy?
I would offer two tactical steps. The first is, and I have this exercise in my book as well, the first is to develop an exit strategy. And what I mean by that is develop a real and concrete tactical plan for leaving your job. So the exercise that I have my students and my readers do is this. Imagine that you knew that you were going to be laid off in 6 months. what would you do to prepare? What would you do professionally? You know, what conferences would you go to? What colleagues would you reach out to? What kind of networking would you do? What kind of skills would you make sure were up to date, or certifications, things like that? What kinds of financial things would you do? You know, what expenses would you cut down on? What would you save? What, you know, how much would you contribute to your retirement? What corporate benefits would you take advantage of, whether it's, you know, 401k contributions or education or professional development? And what would you do personally? You know, how would you think about the impact of a layoff on your personal domestic situation? You know, what about your living situation? What about, you know, is there something there that you would change in terms of where you would rather live, or what you would think about in terms of your commute, or how this affects your household? So think about that, all of those different dimensions, and make a list, kind of a to-do list, of what you would do if you knew you were getting laid off in 6 months. And then I would suggest really talking about that with other people, particularly if you know people who have been laid off or who are already retired and have negotiated that transition successfully. Like, what can you learn from how they made the transition and things that they did to make it successful? And once you have kind of this final list, just start ticking through it, start executing. I mean, what's powerful about having a plan and executing it is that it brings just a sense of power and control to your situation. And it creates a sense of momentum around this change before you've even done anything, before you've even left. So I think having an exit strategy and working on that is a very powerful thing to do. The second step I would suggest is no time like the present, get a side gig. So if you have ideas about what you want to do when you retire from your corporate career, there's no time like the present to start experimenting with those. You can do that in a very low risk, very low cost way when you have a full-time job, and better to do it while you're in a full-time job than to be out of a job and then really relying on these side gigs for your either professional fulfillment or your financial security. So as soon as you can, start experimenting with doing things on the side, with exploring things that you're curious about or interested in and that you think you might want to do in your retired life. It's really the lowest pressure environment that you'll have to do that.
Great points. I just want to mention that I think your book, The Gig Economy, is a fantastic resource for people. It lays out a playbook and concrete practical steps. It also gives you the context and the perspective of what's going on in bigger picture, but it really gets into, here's some things to really get started. And as you pointed out, much easier and better done in advance. I also want to mention the subtitle of your book because it got my attention. And so it's The Gig Economy, The Complete Guide to Getting Better Work, Taking More Time Off, and Financing the Life You Want, because I think that really summarizes a lot of things you've talked about.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I mean, the book really grew out of the MBA class that I teach, and it reflects the assignments and the homework and the exercises that I've given my students that work for them, that really resonate with them. And I wanted to give my readers something really practical where they could walk away with concrete steps and a tactical plan for making the transition to working independently.
Great. And Diane, how can people best follow your work going forward?
There are a couple of ways. So first is they can visit my website, which is dianemulcahy.com. I have a monthly newsletter that I put out that has a question of the month. It has an exercise that you can do. It has kind of a couple of interesting articles about working in the gig economy, and it talks about a particular theme every month that's relevant to people who are thinking about working independently. So that's a great resource. And I'm also on Twitter at Diane Mulcahy.
Great. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It was great. Thank you. That was a great podcast with Diane Mulcahy. Thanks to her for joining us today. Joe, what were your insights from today's conversation?
A number of things jumped out. First of all, just the sheer size of the gig economy with her stat that's about 30% of the workforce today. And it's really having a big impact that cuts across different levels, different sectors, and all different types of work. So I thought that was important to learn. Secondly, her point on that the benefit side of the equation is all tied to the single employer model. And you can see there's a big gap there the systems, which are hard to change from a timing standpoint, haven't caught up yet. So that there's implications in terms of that. And then third, that it really provides a lot of opportunity for people at different stages of their careers. An opportunity to take more control, opportunity to work through uncertainty and reduce it in many ways. But it takes a different mindset. And it takes some planning and preparation. How about you?
A few things. We talked about how the gig economy impacts retirement. And she said that for retirees, two key things. It could be a boom to saving more. People can save more and faster in gig economy types of occupations, she's referred to it, managing a portfolio of work. It's also easier to stay working. You remain active. So people who are looking to go into retirement may want to continue to do some work. And a gig economy is a great way for people to kind of morph themselves into that type of worker and take advantage of some of the benefits that she mentioned, balancing more between a professional and your personal life, feeling more in control of your work life. The other part was when we asked about the tips she had for people who are transitioning from a corporate job into retirement. She mentioned developing an early exit strategy, and she gave some suggestions on how to do that. Also said making time to try it while you're still working. Take the opportunity to experiment a little bit. And when you're in your full-time job, this way you can get a sense on whether or not you like it. And you'll learn some things that you can take with you going forward. But I'll emphasize a little bit also, Joe, we talked about the benefits of having a plan. The power of setting a plan will actually give you momentum. So again, good conversation today.
Thanks for joining us today on The Retirement Conversation. You can listen to all episodes of our podcast by subscribing to them on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play, or on our website at retirementwisdom.com.